Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 50. I am Table for Two, and I am joined today by Melified. How's it going, sir?
It's going pretty well. Nice and cold and wet here today, but we're indoors. Power's working, so it's time to do some podcasting.
Yay! Yeah, it's about the same here. It's pretty cold. Temperatures have been pretty stably cold for a while now, so there's, you know, been a lot of snow and ice up where I'm at, so it's kind of a thing. But yeah, it's good to do podcasting, and I think after we get done with this, I'm gonna play some games. So, but before all that, we got to get this taken care of. So let's just jump right on in. Star Trek giveth and Star Trek taketh away, and it appears that Star Trek Bridge Crew has been suddenly delisted. You know, I can't say that I'm surprised by this, given given the lack of content support for the game.
I can't imagine it was easy for them to get even the expansion they did for it out the door. Given all the licensing that had to happen for that, and, you know, I don't know how successful that ultimately was for them.
Yeah, and I just feel like there was so much more that they could do, because they did, like, a faux Star Trek-type thing, right? So it's, like, set on some random Star Trek spaceship, and you go out on adventures. And then they added in, like, the TOS Trek that you can do, and the TNG Trek that you can do. Which, for me, doing the TNG stuff was like, this is my jam. This is like, Bridge Simulator or whatever it was from back in the day. Like,
Bridge Commander.
So, like, you know, it was feeling good, and I was like, oh, maybe they'll put the Defiant on here, maybe, like, Voyager, or they'll go to, like, Captain Archer and do, like, some Enterprise-era stuff. But, yeah, nothing. I felt like if they had been continuously putting more style campaigns into it, it would have actually gone well. But as a simulator, it's pretty thin. So,
yeah, I mean, most of the fun comes from playing it in a group, I feel like. And that's hard for a lot of games to succeed at, because you need so many players to you know, if you don't have three friends that'll play with you, you need to go find randos.
Right. See, this is right. The kind of thing that going to a Dave and Buster's is for. You know, I just don't know how well this translated to the home user. Cause, like, I've got zero desire to play this because there's just nothing interesting about it anymore.
It also started as a VR exclusive, which is, I mean, insane to me. They did release it with Pancake, normal screen support later on, but I kind of think they lost the momentum by then. The interest had peaked.
Right.
So.
No, for sure. Well, let's move on here. There was also an enormous Cyberpunk 2077 patch that came out, and I've actually started playing through the game now for the first time. I think you have too. And
I got fed up waiting for this, because this was promised originally for the end of last year and they delayed it. And so on consoles, this is the next generation console update. You could play the game before, but it didn't have specific optimizations for the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles. So now it does. But they overhauled the game. I was playing 1.3.1, which was the last patch released before this 1.5 update, and I had put the community fix and mod pack on it that sort of rebalanced the game and did a bunch of stuff. So this patch is the official version of that, essentially, where they fixed a bunch of stuff, they tweaked a bunch of stuff, they added apartments, they added, you know, more character customization, weapons were rebalanced. I had a beautiful katana that I crafted that went from being usable by my character to minimum level 50 with the update. So it's no wonder it was so powerful. It was supposed to be level capped, you know. You know, I'm enjoying it. I had never played the game, and I'm really digging the story, the atmosphere. I've seen one or two goofy little things, glitches, but, you know, considering the size and scope of the game, nothing terrible. How about you? Have you been enjoying your time in Night City?
Yeah, I mean, I played this game when it first came out, and it was like, you know, everybody talked about it was pretty terrible, but playing it now, I think there's only like maybe two things that I noticed that were kind of glitchy, but the second one I don't really remember. The first one I remember because it was actually funny. It made the characters supposed to be pacing back and forth, and then they occasionally will sit down in this chair, and instead of pacing, they like rolled across the room in the chair, and it was just so funny to me. Like, they didn't glitch through anything. It just looked like they were like someone rolling around on a chair in a room, as you do. And it made me laugh, but it wasn't, that's not supposed to happen. So it was just kind of funny. So I didn't call that a glitch, but it was just like, but it was still funny. You know, anyway.
I had seen one where somebody was like sitting when they should have been standing like that. It just in the middle of the street, you know?
Right.
It looked like they were doing yoga poses or something weird. In the chair.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, moving right along, Sea of Thieves kicks off its new adventures live events. I think this is already, as of recording this, a go. I've been itching to really get back into it, but it's one of those games where it's better with friends. And so eventually we'll probably get another crew going again and play some more of that. I've really enjoyed my time with the game, for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those games, you know, it's great that they keep updating it because that keeps it fresh, even if you haven't played for a while, I guess.
Right.
There's always something new to come back to, which has been really fun. For our next one, Hello Games continues cranking out free updates for Space Sandbox No Man's Sky nearly 6 years after it launched. So they've got their first patch of 2022 out, and it's all about the Sentinels. They've got some new big mean versions of the Sentinels, which is maybe the bad news or the challenging news, but they're also giving you new ways to fight the Sentinels, better rewards for killing the Sentinels. So it seems like they've really tried to overhaul the combat in No Man's Sky, which I think is probably well deserved. It certainly hasn't been the most interesting part of the game for quite a while.
Yeah, the space stuff combat wise was fun. The ground stuff was always felt like more of a chore.
Yeah. One thing though, I should note, Hello Games has said that they are not done by a long shot with the game, so they're planning to continue doing more and more updates. So lots to look forward to there, I suspect.
Nice. All right. What else we got? I kind of want to cover this one real quick because I want to get it out of the way. But Street Fighter VI is coming with incredibly detailed toes. I thought this was like the most ridiculous thing. Like, of course graphics are going to get better, but I don't know. I just thought the article from PC Gamer was just a little ridiculous. But whatever.
Yeah, you know, they were having a little fun with it, I guess. I left out all the articles complaining about the new Street Fighter VI logo, and there were several that I came across collecting our show notes for this round. So apparently people have issue with the logo. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Welcome to Street Fighter VI. Have fun, everybody.
Yes. We also, the Tactics RPG Battle Brothers is getting a free DLC with dissection and praying as some of the features. I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like, but certainly one of the more challenging tactics RPGs we've had in a while. The game is also now out on consoles, which I don't remember us talking about that, but that was kind of a surprise release that they brought this game out on the new consoles. So.
Doom Shinobi turns Doom into an acrobatic action game where you're a ninja. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't played Doom and that frenetic, fast-paced combat is so much fun. So I could certainly see it being adapted to more of a ninja style combat, but I haven't tried the mod to see how
there were some fun things you could do in Unreal Tournament 2004 back in the day, where like you could turn on like wall jumping and like double jumps and stuff like that. And so like you run into a room and you're like on the third floor in a matter of seconds and like out the other door or whatever it is. So that always felt fun. So I need to give this a shot and try it out and have some fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of fun, the Shin Megami Tensei series is a favorite of mine. Longtime listeners will know. So Shin Megami Tensei has a very popular spinoff known as Persona. There have been five Persona games and they're very, very successful. Persona 5 is one of my all-time favorite games. There's another spinoff though, called Soul Hackers, which was a Sega Saturn game originally. And we're getting a sequel. And it's coming out for Steam day one. So a little bit of a surprise here that we're seeing, you know, that kind of attention paid to the long forgotten branch of the family tree here.
Well, you know, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but I wonder if this has a lot to do with Valve's entry into the console market with its Steam Deck.
Yes, yes, that very well could be. Although, well, yeah, we'll talk more about the Steam Deck in a minute. But I thought this was really cool. I love seeing these traditional, very Japanese games that a lot of times are only on, you know, one system, like the Switch in particular, or the PlayStation, coming to PC when they're released rather than a year or two later, which right. has been the tradition. So I'm excited about that for sure.
Soon, Fallout 76 will be invaded by aliens. Ba-na-na.
I mean, there is some history to this, right? Fallout 3, I think it was, had an alien DLC where you went onto a crash spaceship and fought aliens. Am I remembering that correctly?
Maybe. Here's a confession time. I have never finished a Fallout game.
Oh,
I've played through quite a bit of them. I know this might damage our friendship. Fair. I've really enjoyed them. It's the Bethesda problem, right? Their games are but I get sucked into something else and I forget about it and have to come back to it later, or you know. But yeah.
I think it was Mothership Zeta was the name of the DLC for Fallout 3 as I'm thinking about it. But so it's not completely unprecedented, is my point, that there are aliens. And even going back to the original 2.5D Fallout games, I remember one of the random encounters you'd see is a suspiciously Star Trek looking crew next to a crash shuttlecraft that you could talk to.
I do remember that.
Yeah, as one of the random encounters. So, I mean, there's some precedence for this, but it seems like a little bit of a stretch to me still. So we'll see how that plays out though.
You know, I'm okay with it though. I'm okay with it. You think post nuclear world, you know, and that's when the aliens finally show up, and I dig it.
So Euro Truck Simulator 2 and American Truck Simulator will be getting an update that puts hidden roads on the map after you discover them. So I guess they've long had the hidden roads, but if you had to kind of know where they were. So now they're making it a little more friendly for you to find those again, which I thought was kind of cool. I admittedly have not ever gotten into the truck driving simulators at all. I know people who swear by them, but never been my jam.
I got a steering wheel. I need to get set up at some point, and I think Pickle and I might do some trucking. We'll see.
Well, you can do them in VR too, which I think would add to the experience quite a bit. So maybe we'll have to give it a shot.
All right, what else we got here?
Assassin's Creed Valhalla is getting an update that adds a new difficulty mode and tweaks the stealth in the game. This is kind of ahead of their next big DLC, Ragnarok. So it's nice to see Ubisoft continuing to work on the game. I think of the three modern Assassin's Creed games, this was probably my least favorite, although I loved Odyssey, so it's a tough, you know, it's a high bar for me on that one.
Well, speaking of Bethesda, Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise. I say that because Bethesda is going to be dropping its launcher in favor of a return to Steam.
I can count on one finger how many times, including this, we have talked about a launcher leaving the PC. We've talked about them coming to the PC for years, but I can't think of a single case where we've gotten rid of a launcher. This is amazing.
Yeah,
this better be a trend.
This is really good. And considering that Bethesda is under the umbrella of Microsoft, it's really cool to see that they're doing away with this launcher. So I view this in a couple of ways. A, it's a favor in return to Steam, but it's probably going to make it a little easier to integrate with some of their other stuff later on down the road, I would imagine. You know.
Yeah, well, and their stuff's already on Steam, so all they're giving you is basically keys, you know, for the existing stuff that's already there.
Yeah, because like I have Doom Eternal through the Bethesda launcher because at the time that was really the cheapest where I could find it. So
yeah, I have the 2016 Doom through Bethesda and Eternal through Microsoft. So I'm in a similar boat, but one other tidbit I'll mention is this is not the Elder Scrolls Online launcher, which is right.
Separate
because it's an MMO. That's still separate. Ironically, they're both called Bethesda Launcher in Task Manager because I've had to go in and kill them, which I've always found sort of amusing. So, you know, didn't want anyone to get confused about which Bethesda launcher we were talking about.
This is everything but that game.
yes, everything but Elder Scrolls. That's true.
Right.
So 2 years later, Fall Guys is now got crossplay.
Wow.
I don't understand why games like Fall Guys that depend on having a huge number of players don't do crossplay from the get-go. But
it's like the Rocket League thing. Like, you know, why? You know, and finally, yeah.
Also, the developers of Fall Guys have reassured the Nintendo Switch owners that the game is still coming to Switch, although it's been quite a while since they announced that. Probably, I think it's been 2 years, so they're still working on it. Keep the faith.
Well, there's a chance that the next Call of Duty may be skipping 2020, skipping 2023 or skipping to 2023. I'm confused.
So I think they're not going to do a 2022. Like normally we would get in September of this year, a new Call of Duty. We are not getting a new Call of Duty this year,
but we're going to get a new Warzone.
We're going to get Warzone 2, which is still Call of Duty. So they're just not doing like a single player, gotcha. Multiplayer game around Call of Duty.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Last but not least, for our kind of general news section, the game Elden Scrolls came out very, very recently as of this recording, and it is among the best reviewed games ever. Period. Like, it at one point, it was beating every other game on OpenCritic, although I think Mario Odyssey actually has edged it out at press time here, but certainly very, very well regarded. Everybody's playing it on Twitch. I think our usual partner in crime, Alien Pickle, is sleeping off his binge in the Elden Ring universe. I'm gonna just take a wild guess why probably, he's not here today.
That's probably an accurate assessment. Yes.
So, you know, I haven't touched it yet because I'm still trying to finish Cyberpunk and I don't want to get distracted.
Yeah, I'm playing God of War right now. I'm playing Cyberpunk right now. Let me get through some of these other games first and I'll get to Elden Ring.
Yes, so I'm excited to try that out. I did have a very frustrating experience with this game, though, I got to say.
You're not alone, apparently.
Well, no. So I was going to talk about something completely different. That's sort of a tangent, but you're referring to stuttering, I believe,
and controllers.
A lot of PC players have had. Yeah.
Mouse and keyboard and controller support has been like. There's been several reviews of people like having trouble just getting the controller to get recognized when their mouse and keyboard wouldn't be recognized. Like, it was weird.
Weird. Yeah, and Bandai Namco is the publisher here. From Software being the developer. you know, a lot of the Japanese studios don't do a great job on the PC, it seems like.
Well, at least it's not bricking their PCs like the new Horizon game is on PlayStation. So
yes. But it, you know, this was a multi-platform release. There is an Xbox version, PlayStation, and PC. So maybe they just need to do a little bit of QA on the PC version here. I was going to refer to, though, something that drives me crazy about the PC ecosystem buying keys from third parties.
Yes. This is how I got a copy of the game.
As it turns out. So I had a friend of mine who she really helped me out with something, and I wanted to return, you know, give her a nice little gift. And so I bought the game for her from the Humble Store. And on the description of the game, nowhere did it say that it was region locked. So I sent her the key. She's in the UK and she couldn't redeem it. And come to find out, when I put that key in to SteamDB, it is an America's key in the key description. So How the hell I was supposed to know that, I have no idea. Now, to be fair, I didn't go back to Humble and complain, because generally their return policy is once you get the key, you're stuck with it. They don't, you know, they'll refund it before you see the key, but once you see it, it's yours. So rather than deal with all that BS, I gifted it to my co-host Table. But I also, because a lot of these games sell through third-party stores before they have the Steam keys, you have to wait for the Steam keys to show up. So you might buy it 3 months before the game releases, and then you have to wait for the Steam key to appear. Well, I ended up buying this game 4 times through Humble Store unintentionally. Part of that's because I'm an idiot and I forgot that I had already bought it, pre-ordered it. But when I went in to try to figure out this issue with the key that I had, I realized I had 2 copies from November of this year when it first went on sale, and a week apart. So I must have forgotten that I bought it already, which I'm an idiot. That's fair. That's on me. But I never got an email from Humble telling me those keys were available, which seems like a problem.
Yeah.
Had I not gone back and happened to be searching through for the word Elden in my purchase history on Humble, I would have had no idea.
Right.
And because it was so long ago, I guess my email client, because one of my other things I usually do is drop the name into my email client and look through and see if I have a receipt for the game. But I think it had been so long that it had aged out of my mail client.
Oof.
So when I searched for it, there was nothing there. So yeah, it was a very unpleasant surprise. That said, all of my kids and I ended up getting a copy because, you know, I had extra copies. So, you know, maybe all is well that ends well, but, and it certainly was partially my own doing, but I really don't like it when retailers don't give you the key when you make the purchase, and then don't follow up with you. That just seems wrong. So.
Well, moving along to the Xbox and PC section, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 is coming to the PC this year.
Yeah, the original Dark Alliance was a Xbox 360 game, I want to say. And certainly was a fun ARPG, action RPG, for its day. Played well on the controller. They did a sequel, Dark Alliance 2, using the same engine, different developer. And they're bringing that one to PC as well. So,
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 came out on the PlayStation 2 and Xbox back in 2004.
Oh, so yeah, even a generation further back. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's these are some classics. Yeah.
Good to see. Well, let's dive on in. So the Steam Deck is here. You can
sort
now,
of.
Well, yes, but I mean, basically it is here. You can now check your Steam library for Steam Deck compatibility, which for those of you with big libraries, you're probably going to have a few games on that list. So that's pretty slick. Go check that out. And then Valve is already planning a Steam Deck 2. Which is not a surprise. I think maybe because of the anticipation of this, that would only seem appropriate to go ahead and start putting plans into work for another version down the road.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty standard with consoles. You know, they're working on the next one as the current one releases.
And if this really truly is a going to be a new competing console in the console market from Valve, that's going to be really interesting to see how that compares, because the price point to entry on this thing is ridiculously affordable compared to, you know, a lot of the other consoles out there, and then like the limitations of their libraries. So like this thing is multifaceted in that it comes with a Linux-based version of Steam on there, but you can also load Windows onto it. You can install all kinds of things onto it. There's like a hefty repair community availability chart. Steam or Valve has also released the CAD files for the deck, so that, you know, you're probably going to see a lot of support, a lot of third-party support for this thing. So I definitely foresee this being a huge, potentially a huge competitor in the market for, you know, gaming. You know, something that you can take with you, you can dock with it, you can do all kinds of stuff. So
I think a couple of things that we learned recently about the Steam Deck. One is that the micro SD slot is in fact very fast for loading games and things like that, which makes the lower end SKUs much more affordable, right? Because you're not losing you're losing storage when you go down the product line, but if you can just throw in a micro SD card in and get it back, okay, great, you know, so be it,
right?
You can also hot swap those micro SD cards, we found out recently, which means you don't have to reboot the system. Like with the Switch, if you take out that micro SD card, the system basically locks up and says, reboot me. I won't do anything until you do. Whereas with the Steam Deck, you could have two or three or four micro SD cards all with different parts of your game library on it. And you could pop those in, hot swap, and it'll scan them and detect which games are on the new card, which is pretty slick.
Yeah. Well, and on top also, of all, go ahead.
It also has multi-user support, which is really nice. You can have multiple Steam profiles, and if you have, like, if you and your wife were signed into separate Steam accounts on your Steam Deck, if you have a game and she doesn't, she can basically ask to borrow it.
That's, I like that.
Yeah, so they're using, I mean, it's basically the family sharing features that have been in the PC version for a while, but they carried that over and really did a clean implementation on the Steam Deck, which I think shows a lot of smart thinking on Valve's part, frankly.
Yeah, I like that. And on top of that, they're also going to be releasing a new game.
What? Valve makes games?
Yeah, sure. Who knew? it's really a tutorial game is what it is. It's set in the Portal universe, and it's kind of like,
it only reminds me of Job Simulator.
It's kind of what it is, and it plays off of what the Steam Deck can do, and that's actually going to be free. You can get that for free. So,
starting March 1st.
March 1st, that's correct.
So one of the things you know that's been a little crazy is the availability. If you put in the $5 reservation, you have one of three buckets that you fell into: first quarter of this year, second quarter of this year, or after second quarter.
Yeah.
And what they've done is every week they are going to email the next batch of people who can basically pay off their pre-order, and then Valve will ship them the deck. And if they don't respond within 72 hours, their deck goes to the next person in line. So, and they're going to be doing that process weekly and sending out batches weekly. So I think we're going to see them starting to get into people's hands pretty quickly. They are promising that everyone who got a first quarter date will have one by the end of March, which is the end of first quarters, which that's the bucket I happen to fall into. I did not get the email yet, but I'm certainly excited that, you know, it should be coming in the next 5 weeks, basically.
Like, I'm quarter two, so...
So yours would be anytime from April to June.
Yep. And I'm okay with that.
Yes. Well, considering, you know, they're not cheap. They're not giving these. I mean, they're affordable, but they're not nothing. Right. That extra time might be to everybody's benefit. It also gives Valve time to honestly work through some of the bugs that the early reviewers have identified. There are
specifically some, in the software.
Yeah. There are some little hitches here and there that still need to be ironed out. So it may not be a bad thing to wait a little bit. One interesting point I was going to make, you were commenting on the affordability and being sort of a challenger to the console, which is absolutely true. Basically, from the performance stuff that people have done that was announced or they were finally allowed to talk about yesterday, this is equivalent to a PS4, but it runs a 720p instead of 1080p. But like they were putting games head to head, the PS4 version, same setting, you know, they know what the settings are equivalent to on the PC, and the Steam Deck operates as a 720p PS4.
Yeah.
Which is not bad. I mean, all things considered for the price. Well, the portable system.
And the other thing too is like you'll be able to install like the Epic Game Store. Apparently they're gonna be doing stuff with Game Pass on it at some point. There's also one of the Dolphin emulator developers showed that the mm-hmm. Dolphin emulator was running and working on it too. So this thing's gonna come with a lot of options.
Well, and if you stay in Linux, and there is an argument that you probably want to stay in Linux only because Valve has done so much optimization to make the Steam Deck, it gets, you know, better power, you get system level anti-aliasing, system level frame rate limiting, which really helps save on the battery. But there is a open source independent Epic Store launcher that is ported to Linux. So you can go install that, and now you've got access to all those free games Epic's been giving away for the last, 2 years, plus your Steam library, and you're still in Linux, which is fantastic. And then if we could get a Game Pass launcher, even if the games we're downloading are the Windows versions, given the Proton compatibility layer that Valve is using to get Windows games to run on Linux, you know, potentially we could play all of the Game Pass library too.
Or xCloud stream it too.
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah, you have all the streaming options on top of that. So you could certainly stream from your PC, which is, you know, if you're at home and you're sitting on the couch and your PC's in the office, that's probably going to work pretty flawlessly.
I do in-home streaming all the time, and it works great.
Yeah. So, you know, and then, yeah, you add xCloud to that, which you will be able to play through a browser on Linux, at least. You probably won't get the native app, but you can certainly use the browser. Gosh, this thing has a lot of options.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. Don't get us wrong. Like, we know that there's going to be, like, you know, initial things that it's going to have to sort through, like, any new thing. But what it's supposed to be able to do, we're really excited for that.
And Valve, I mean, the reviewers were saying that Valve was updating the Steam OS as often as 3 times a day leading up to launch. So yeah. One of the things that I think have criticized Valve for in the past is being sort of an absentee landlord of PC gaming, where they're not around, they don't really participate, they just kind of do their own thing, they do weird stuff sometimes and you don't really understand why. But ultimately, I am seeing a different Valve with the Steam Deck. They seem all in on this thing. They are, you know, they were optimizing the Linux drivers to improve battery life and, you know, putting that back into the open source community. And that's just so much more, you know, from Valve than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think all the work that they've tried to do in the past has probably been leading up to this. Granted, you can look at them as failures, but failures only lead to better understanding. You learn from that. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at what happened with all of the Steam OS stuff and like the Steam machines that they were trying to do to the Steam controller, to the Steam Link, and then eventually they went to the Steam Link app. And, you know, I use the Steam Link app almost all the time. And I found out probably about 4 months ago, there's actually a PC version of the Steam Link app. That you can run and if you're on a machine that's like a low end machine, like let's say you're on a low end laptop and you're like again up in your living room, mm-hmm. you can use the Steam Link app on your little dinky laptop to connect to your PC and play your games too. So that's cool. You know, yeah, there's I don't use it personally. I found out about it and tried it and I was like, oh, that's slick, it works. But like I use the Steam Link app on my Shield TV upstairs. Or on my phone, and it works really, really well. So the fact that now I don't have to use my phone for that, I'm actually going to be able to have a Steam Deck to be able to do that with instead, and, you know, built-in controls and a bigger screen than my phone screen, you know, and so I'm just looking forward to all those possibilities and options and all of those things. So it's really exciting. I'm really kind of curious to see where Nintendo is gonna like handle themselves with this.
Yeah, they are definitely the wild card, you know, as sort of the only competitor in this space at this point. It'll be interesting to see what or if they do anything. Nintendo's always been sort of weird about competition, admittedly.
All right, well, there you go. There's the Steam Deck. Moving right along. After 13 years of development, Half-Life mod about the Marine assault on Black Mesa launches to rave reviews. Now, this is interesting considering the timing of things. This was created by a Russian-Ukrainian modding team. Nothing to do with current geopolitical politics.
That's got to be a little awkward at the next meeting, though.
Yeah, and well, for what it's worth, too, I mean, you have to understand, just like with anything in the world, you know, in a lot of cases, people are different than their governments. And so, you know, I'm just going to leave that there because we're not a political show. I'm just going to leave that there so we can just, you know, move past that. But anyway, after 13 years of development, this Half-Life mod about a Marine assault team on Black Mesa launches, and I'm really glad to see this kind of stuff still going and people still doing things and people still talking about it, and I love it. This is a called Field Intensity, I believe is the name of the mod, and it is for the original shooter that came out in 1998. There's like, how much content do they put in this thing? Where was I reading that? I can't find that right now, but, go look it up. Half-Life Field Intensity, pretty slick.
Yeah. Yeah. Great to see. And hey, it's free. You can't beat the price. Explore the legendary region of Cantha in Guild Wars 2 End of Dragons. I really wish we had our partner in crime, Jim, here, Alien Pickle, because he is our resident Guild Wars 2 fanatic. Is it fair to say? Fan?
Super yeah, I
fan?
Mean, I played a lot of the first one, and so Cantha was a realm from the first game, and so it's kind of cool to see them bring that into the fold into the second one. I'm just thrilled to see Guild Wars 2 still putting out a whole lot of content that it still has a good following. So good for them. Bravo.
Yeah, for sure.
VR news. What do we got, Melified?
Oh my goodness. So we talked a little bit about Cyberpunk 2077. The VR mod should be out now by the time you hear this. So if you really want to experience Night City in VR, check that out. I think this game would do extremely well in VR. It's already first person, so seems really obvious to me.
I love this second one. This one right here.
Yeah, it's a great. I just had for the headline quote. It's so fantastic. Yeah. Go ahead.
Gabe Newell, most of the people talking about Metaverse have absolutely no idea what they're talking about, and I can't agree more. So he said in a recent interview, there's a bunch of get rich quick schemes around the metaverse right now, and he says most of the people who are talking about metaverse have absolutely no idea what they're talking about, and they've apparently never played an MMO. They're like, oh look you'll have this customizable avatar, and it's like, well, go into Final Fantasy 14 and tell me that this isn't a solved problem from a decade ago, not some fabulous thing that you're, you know, inventing.
Gabe's not holding back. That's the bottom line. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, when you know, the guy's pretty rare in the news, I feel like, you know, with a lot of things. Like, he's usually just kind of like there with his beard and his glasses, and nothing towards you, Mellified, but like, you know, it's just like that traditional Gabe Newell look or whatever it is that he's got going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And And then he just comes out with these, like, you know, just drop the mic and leave the room moments. Yeah, that's what I feel like has happened here. Yeah.
Well, if there's one person on the earth at this point who has screw you money, it's Gabe Newell, right? What are you going to do to him?
Right.
If you don't, yeah, I mean, if you don't like what he says, you're going to take your game off Steam. Okay.
Wow.
Go for it. all right. So moving on, this one caught my eye because it's a little bit strange. So Minecraft has a official version on PC. It's a port of the Java edition for VR. But somebody's taken that and now moved it onto the Quest as an unofficial port. So you can play Minecraft in VR natively on the Quest. Having tried Minecraft PC VR, it's weird. It's such a weird experience. I don't know how to like describe it exactly, but Minecraft, even in first person, Minecraft always feels a little bit like, maybe because it's cartoony graphics or you know, not super realistic. It's always felt a little unreal, but when you're in VR, it's like you're in this strange, you know, different universe. It really, really takes the immersion to a new level. So certainly a lot of fun if you like Minecraft. Give that a shot.
There you go.
So Microsoft Flight Simulator has hand tracking support is under investigation, and we got a release date for the helicopter addition to the game and that's going to be coming fourth quarter of this year. So it's pretty interesting that they're talking about hand tracking, because you'd be able to, you know, actually operate the controls of the plane in VR. And there are a lot of controls in Flight Simulator. Holy cow.
There are indeed.
That game uses the whole keyboard and then some. So, well, let's talk about Nintendo. They have appeared apparently to have improved the Switch Online's N64 emulation finally.
Yeah, just this morning, I was watching Modern Vintage Gamer do his review of this, now that they've made this update. And apparently, like in Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, they fixed the fog effects, which finally actually improved the game in many places that there was like clear issues with the game itself. And so he's reporting that it's definitely good to go now.
That's great to hear. Yeah. The other bit of news around this was Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask was added to the N64 library for this. So another Zelda classic, if you are interested, is available to play on your Switch.
Yeah. And he also said this is way better than the Wii Virtual Console version. So like, now that they've made these fixes, he highly recommends getting these versions if you haven't yet.
Good to hear. All right, let's talk some tech news. This first story I just thought was kind of interesting. Alienware has a 34-inch QD OLED, which is a technology for OLED that makes it look even better. It's a gaming monitor, and it is ultra-wide. That's the 34-inch form factor, the 21:9 widescreen. It's a 1440p widescreen, so 3440 by 1440. But it does 175 hertz over DisplayPort and 100 hertz over HDMI. All of that for the low, low price of $1,300.
Man, you talk about trying to get a GPU and a monitor that's going to cost you, like, just for those things alone, like, well over $3,000. It's like, yeah. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, PC Gamer is where I saw this story, and they certainly, the person writing the article was talking about it as sort of the ultimate gaming monitor. I don't know that I'd go that far, but it's certainly a nice display. For me, the miss of only 100 hertz over HDMI versus 120, which is very standard on consoles these days. The PS4, PS5, and Xbox Series both support 120 hertz. But not 100. It seems like a miss. So I'm not sure that this would be the monitor for me, but you're probably also not going to want to play a console game on a 21:9 since they don't support ultra wide anyway. You're going to be limited to, you're going to have the big black bars on either side. So maybe that's not totally fair.
Yeah. Looks like Qualcomm is looking past Wi-Fi 6 to Wi-Fi 7 for higher throughput and lower latency. I can say that even going to the Wi-Fi 6 at my work, as we've been doing upgrades there, has been a huge improvement already. So, I mean, if they're going to be improving upon that, then holy crap. Congratulations.
Yeah, Wi-Fi 7 adds some pretty crazy tech to Wi-Fi, including a new band. So you're actually going to get 60 gigahertz frequency spectrum, which is ultra fast, but very short range. No wall penetration, fortunately.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, what else we got here?
This was kind of a weird one. It's a square pad that sits below your keyboard and is secured by magnets. And the idea is you rest the heel and palm of your hand on it and kind of use it like a thumbstick. So it replaces your WASD by leaning your hand around. I you know, we've talked about some alternative controllers on the show a few times. This one caught my eye only because it struck me that for somebody with carpal tunnel or a repetitive stress injury in their hands, this might be a really good alternative to traditional, you know, use of the WASD keyboard key. So that might be interesting for some folks. It's called the WRAEK Tactonic Pad. I don't know, Raek? I don't know how you say that, but something to check out if you are interested in a little bit different way to input play PC games.
Yeah, should be interesting. Definitely not something for me though.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, Windows 11 is getting some interesting features to distinguish it from earlier versions. I guess finally, they're going to be improving the windowed gaming experience for cursed gamers who shun full screen. I guess I'm one of those. I don't play in Windows, but I do like borderless window because I hate trying to alt tab and then just like close that stuff down and it messes with the machine and all that other nonsense.
Yes, borderless window is my preference as well. Basically, what this gives us is the auto HDR support. It basically takes away any performance penalties for doing windowed mode. And there was one other little feature that it added that I'm forgetting at the moment. Let me see if I can find it really quick. VRR, virtual refresh rate, variable refresh rate is supported better. So
nice. Well, it also looks like we're going to be able to finally drag and drop stuff to the taskbar like, you know, a normal sane person. The other thing that I noticed recently too was, and I missed when it happened, was one of the complaints that I had because I have multiple monitors is if I'm playing a full screen game on my main monitor, I can't see what time it is on the taskbars of any of my other screens.
Oh,
and so, the date and time are now listed on all of my taskbars on all the other screens. So
that's
I can actually look and see what time it is now without having to minimize my game.
Yeah, I've used Display Fusion for a number of years, and it has its own version of the secondary monitor taskbar, so I guess I never noticed that was missing. Interesting. The one other one that was kind of neat, and one other feature, is Task Manager in Windows 11 will now let you put certain programs in eco jail. So if they're taking up too much power, you can basically forcibly pause them so they can't use any resources in the background. Now, if I could just do that with Explorer, I would be happy.
Yeah.
I am still restarting Explorer sometimes 3 times a day.
Ooh, I'm not. Mine's finally stabilized out, so.
Yeah, mine was stable last patch, and then I got a new patch, and now it's unhappy again, so I don't know. But all of this is great news, right? We're getting Windows 11. It's getting better, new features. Well, guess what? That's just in time for Windows 12.
Yeah, this is really early on. You know, I'm not entirely sure I mean, obviously, you know, with like Valve working on Steam Deck 2, they're going to be working on the next iteration of the operating system at some point. But the rumor on here is that it's going to require 2 TPM modules, which is like, I can't possibly understand. Like, that makes no sense to me, but I think
I don't know what does that do for you? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Take this rumor with a big grain of salt, guys.
Yeah, fair enough. So don't panic, but Google's DeepMind has trained an AI to control nuclear fusion. This gets super technical, this article, so I won't spend too much time on it. But basically, as you're doing nuclear fusion in a reactor, there's a adjustment that needs to be made in real time to keep the reaction happening consistently and not going too much or too slow. And they basically have an AI that can do that now, whereas before they had to have human operators trying to do it. So kind of neat. Certainly not necessarily directly gaming related, but the idea of using an AI to train another one gets kind of interesting when you start thinking about gaming and AI opponents, I thought. So that's why I want to throw that one in there.
Nice.
All right. Intel wants a piece of the $1,000 GPU market, targeting the ultra enthusiast segment with Celestial. That's the name of their next generation GPU that they're coming out with.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, this is Intel's big entry into the GPU market. And, you know, I think that their initial look at this stuff is promising. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the pricing changes and how the performance changes. So much of GPU performance is in the drivers these days, especially NVIDIA. That's their bread and butter. I do wonder if Intel is going to be able to sort of keep up, even if the hardware is better. If the drivers don't match that, we may not get the performance we're hoping for. So, last tech story is a little bit of a PSA. Ryzen 7 users are seeing some weird performance issues with AMD's latest BIOS. Obviously, it depends on which motherboard you have, what the actual version is. But you may want to check and double check that your vendor, if they have a BIOS update for your motherboard, if you're on an AMD CPU, because there have been some performance issues.
Right. Moving on to business and legal. So, have you heard of Titan Reach?
I had not before this story, so I thought this was interesting, though.
Yeah, I had not heard about this. This was an indie MMO project that apparently was a Kickstarter thing that has been in crisis mode from the beginning, it appears. Basically, what it looks like has happened is things have closed up shop and people have disappeared amid fraud allegations. One of the interesting things about the article here, too, is that at some point in time, and one of the angel investors pulled out after one of the developers misappropriated funds for a failed $150,000 cryptocurrency investment and purchased a Tesla for his own personal use with screenshots of Discord conversations as primary evidence. So not only is this stuff being alleged, apparently there are receipts, and it's not looking good. So, yikes.
Yeah, this is kind of the dark side of crowdfunding, right? You never know exactly who you're dealing with, unfortunately. Couple quickies. The Crucial Ballistics memory brand is dead. Micron is the owner of that, and they've decided they're not going to make ballistics RAM anymore. I am looking at 4 sticks of ballistic RGB RAM in my recent build. So that made me a little bit sad, but yeah, you know, it happens. Guess what Ubisoft says?
They're not making any of their games that they'd promised.
Well, they claim that Skull and Bones still exists. Now, this goes back to the launch of the PS4 when we got the Assassin's Creed Pirates game, which I forget even what the subtitle was, but it was like Assassin's Creed something, and it was you were a pirate. It was so popular that they decided they were going to make a dedicated pirate game called Skull and Bones. And it's been in development for, 10 years now? At least in some form?
I still want them to tell me that they're still working on Beyond Good and Evil 2.
And they have said that. Yeah. They insist it's coming.
Yeah, insist more, please. I need more evidence.
Show me the money. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But those two games, they've been out there for quite a while. Switching gears, Square Enix claims that Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy undershot sales expectation. Now, I played this game all the way through, loved it, thought that it was fantastic. It won an award for best story at the DICE Awards recently. So what sales expectations did Square Enix have for this game? Because as far as I know, it sold pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems a little bit insane to me.
I've only recently been getting into some of these superhero games. Like, I just started playing Injustice the other day, and there's a few others that I've been looking to get into, and it's not because I don't like the genre. It's just that there's been such the oversaturation of the superhero stuff for years. But and looking for new things to try, I saw Injustice 2 was on sale recently, and so I asked Melified about it. He's like, "Well, you need to get Injustice 1." Come to find out, I already had it. Who knew? Because I certainly didn't realize that. It's that problem when you have too many Steam games, you forget what you have. And so I started playing Injustice and really liked it. I can't say I'm really surprised. I think a lot of people were probably not liking the fact that the game versions of some of these Marvel games don't have the likenesses of the movie characters.
Right. Right.
And I think that has maybe put some people off a little bit. So
that's fair. I think also the reality is that the Guardians of the Galaxy aren't really superheroes. Like, they're set in that Marvel universe, but they're just aliens. And Peter Quill, who's a human who's lived off world for his whole life, basically, for most of his life. So it is kind of a weird, like, sub genre or category of the superhero stuff. That all said, it was a great game. It deserved to do well. So they didn't actually talk about how many sales it had. They just said it undershot expectations. So we don't really know exactly what their expectations were, but certainly worth checking out if you enjoy action adventure games.
Undershot by one, undershot by 10, like,
no, man. No idea. Yeah. So Valve. Oh, good.
No, you go ahead, please.
Valve has no plans for a Steam Pass, but would help Microsoft put Game Pass on Steam. So, I thought that was interesting that people have asked. Obviously, they're wondering if Valve would do some sort of all you can eat.
I just don't think Valve needs it. I don't think it's something that is. I think at this point, especially for their first party titles, if you don't already own them, who is this appealing to? You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're on PC already, if you don't already own these games, who are you appealing to? I mean, new people, sure, but.
Yeah, I mean, if on PC too, you've already got Microsoft with Game Pass, you've got EA with their subscription service, and Ubisoft. So that's a pretty, saturated market in terms of subscriptions.
Yep.
I don't know that even if they did third party stuff, that they would get a lot of traction out of it.
All right. Let's see here. Street Fighter Alpha 2 on the SNES, which flopped at retail and left the publisher with a warehouse full of unsold stock. Tell me a little bit about what happened here.
So back in the bad old days of cartridges, you had to go to Nintendo or Sega and tell them how many copies of a game you wanted printed on cartridges, and Nintendo would do the printing and then deliver you the finished product. That's how they made a bunch of their money on these consoles. So Capcom did a by all measures, an excellent port of Street Fighter Alpha 2 to the SNES. And it just didn't do well because it was up against the much more capable PlayStation and Saturn at the time. Because it was late enough in the SNES's life that these other consoles had come out. And so it just didn't sell very well. And it left Capcom with something like $5 million worth of inventory that they couldn't sell. And so that soured the relationship between Capcom and Nintendo. This revelation came out of an interview with one of the folks who worked at Capcom at the time. This was kind of an interesting little story, but it's neat to think about like how far we've come where, you know, now you don't even have to think about production. You just put it online and down and everybody download, right? You don't have to go make cartridges. So kind of crazy.
All right. Last in our business and legal.
Night Dive, the folks who kind of specialize in remastering classic games, they want to remaster things like Eternal Darkness, but Nintendo really hasn't been very receptive to that idea. So this is always the challenge with old games, is getting all the rights holders to agree. And it seems like Nintendo's not there, at least with regard to Night Dive. So
yeah, well, Nintendo be Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's do some funny and strange. Let's round this out.
All right. You want to start?
No, I was going to say, well, what do we got?
All right. So we have a surprising amount of keycap news this time around. We have T-Rex keycaps that look like they would bite your finger off. They're little like T-Rex heads for your keycaps. Wow,
look at that. There's also a Triceratops one.
There is. Yeah, they've got little dino ones. So that was just kind of weird. Like, okay, if you wanted to do a Jurassic Park themed keyboard or computer, that might be cool. NVIDIA is giving away Chrome RTX on keycap, which sadly aren't actually GPUs. You can't, you know, run your games off these buttons, but they are kind of a neat little Chrome, you know, flashy piece to put on your keyboard. And Asus made a keycap that looks like a ROG GPU that even has spinning fans on. So they went all out for their keycap. I don't know why all of a sudden we have so many keycap choices in the market, but sure. Okay.
Let's see here. Minesweeper player clears 1,500 mines off nerve-wracking board. Wow. Yeah.
And this is the original, like, Windows bundled Minesweeper. You know, nothing fancy, right?
Yeah, that is nuts.
And this screenshot is just a sea of numbers in mine. Crazy.
I wonder how long it took him to play that.
Yeah, 2.5 hours to finish, they said. Yeesh. That's a lot of Minesweeper.
Good for him. All right, what else we got?
So Reddit users are competing right now to make the world's shortest Ethernet cable.
Oh, so, I did see some of this nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just silly, kind of fun. They've got it down to basically just being the connector on either end, and there's no cable at all. It's just the wires going into the end of the connector, which is pretty funny. Somebody did one that's, you know, one connector where they actually cut off half the connector and glued it together to another one. Somebody made one that just has like a quarter of an inch long cable. So there's clearly some silliness here, but just kind of fun to see people's creativity making super short Ethernet cables. Now, that all said, right, if you have an Ethernet cable that can't actually connect two computers together, does it, is it an Ethernet cable?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, something to contemplate over breakfast one day.
Well, this last all one right. is ridiculous. thousands of dollars of rare factory sealed SNES games unearthed after 27 years in storage. So the story, I guess, goes that when a video game store in Nebraska closed its doors for the final time in 1994, its entire stock was packed away and placed in storage, awaiting for a new owner. Now, almost 30 years later, the stock has been unearthed and documented in on a YouTube channel out there called This Is Game Room, I think is the name of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Was apparently there to record it. And, oh my, like, what a once-in-a-lifetime find of tons of these games that are factory-sealed. Like, they're essentially brand new, never been opened.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, some of the highlights, Final Fantasy III, Turtles in Time.
Apparently there's some Sega games in there, Aladdin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wild.
Chrono Trigger, Breath of Fire 2. I mean, these are some of the great classics of the SNES and Genesis era. So, my gosh, you know, somebody made out like a bandit. This is one of those crazy, like, Storage Wars stories where somebody gets super lucky and just finds the gold mine in the
storage unit. I can't even begin to imagine what the price of a factory sealed Chrono Trigger would go for. That's gotta be a god awful lot of money.
A good condition used one is $600 easily. So, oof, you know, you're talking at least double that, if not triple, I would think.
Oof.
But yeah, I mean, just wow. Good for them. I mean, what a find. So lucky.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for the news. Be sure to check out our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg for all this and more. We have fun playing games and chatting over here. Good little community we got going on. And we'll definitely see you guys in the next episode. This has been episode number 50.
Yeehaw.